Can turn there, Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Let's read responsively down to verse 18 tonight. So I'll read the first verse, you read the second. We'll get down to verse 18. So Daniel chapter 3, and in verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counsellors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. That at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Whoso falleth not down and worshippeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Amen. We'll be looking at the thoughts of tests and trials tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for the singing tonight. Lord, what a privilege it is to sing your praises. And Lord, would that we could do it a lot more often and a lot longer in a sense. Lord, when we get out there in the world, we hear all the rubbish Even if you go into a supermarket, Lord, all the music and the carry-on, Lord, what a privilege to gather together as a group of God's people and to sing your praises and to rejoice in you and your great salvation and all of that, Lord. We want to give you thanks and praise and ask, Lord, now that you would bless our time in your word. Lord, we all, sooner or later or even right now, go through tests and trials. And Lord, we pray as we look at this passage tonight, there would be some thoughts that would be helpful, that would be an encouragement. Lord, maybe even a challenge. Lord, you know our hearts, our needs. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so tests and trials, and they come in various forms, don't they? And we'll look just quickly at some of those forms, and then we'll have a look at this passage, and then put some principles and things in place after that. But one of the things we find in James chapter 1 is that we have the trying of our faith, don't we? The trying of our faith works patience. The idea of that, of course, is to test our endurance or to test our patience. God allows these things. We need to remind ourselves, though, that God doesn't tempt us to sin. In James chapter 1 and verse 13, where James points out, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lusts and enticed, and it goes on, when sin is conceived, it bringeth forth death. So there is the test which will test our patience or our endurance. There's another test. Have a look in Deuteronomy chapter 13. And there's quite a number of them throughout the scripture. We won't look at all of them tonight, but certainly some, just to remind ourselves, why do we get these tests and trials? What's the purpose of them? Well, here's some thoughts. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 3. And the Lord says there, well, I'll start in verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Right, so God says one of the tests for the nation of Israel, he would allow some of these preachers, teachers, prophets to come along. They'd really preaching, teaching lies, but the challenge was, were they going to follow God or listen to this other stuff? It was a test of whether they loved the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul. It's the first and great commandment, isn't it? So some of our tests are going to have to do with how much do we love God? You have a look in Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Here's one of the other tests that God allows or brings into our lives. In verse 16, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. When the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. So God allowed some tests, and they got back right with God. Came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them, and cease not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. So what's going to happen? God's going to have to deal with them. All right? And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. Notice what it says next, that through them I may prove or test Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. God says, I've left some there to test and to prove you, Israel. That's what I need to do, whether you walk in my ways or not. There's the problem. whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did. So that'll be a test sometimes. Are we going to walk in God's ways or the ways of the world? What are we going to do? Well, have a look in John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This is a test and a trial that none of us like too much. John chapter 11. It's a story of Lazarus who died. Verse 1, now a certain man who was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So the Lord waits now. He gets the message, Lazarus not well. Okay. Instead of going off quickly to heal him, he waits another couple of days. Well, notice we get down verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now he's dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Okay, so you think, well, Lord, why did we wait 2 days? Well, have a look in verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, if only you'd come just that little bit earlier. Test of time, isn't it? Test of time. Notice verse 32. That was Martha. Notice verse 32. When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died, same as his sister. The test of time. See, 2 days can make a lot of difference, can't it? In 2 days, if he'd come, he wouldn't have died. Just a minute. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Oh. And so you and I sometimes are going to have the test of time. The test of time. Whether it's 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, or whatever. The test of time. John chapter 6. Notice one of the other tests that God brings across our path sometimes. The Lord Jesus has come over the Sea of Galilee. Notice verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Here's the test. Philip, where are we going to buy enough bread to feed all these people? It's what I call the test of the how. How's God going to do it? We got 5,000 men plus women and children. How are we going to feed them? Where's the food going to come from? The test of how. You get in a certain situation, and now what's going to happen? How's God? Just a minute. It's a test of our faith. It's a trial of our faith. So let's come back to Daniel chapter 3, and then we'll look again at some more of the principles involved in tests and trials, but we won't dwell too much on the story. We've read it together, but Nebuchadnezzar had made this wonderful image. I don't know whether you've thought about how big it is. Notice there in verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. 60 cubits. Now in feet, that's about 90 feet. So what's that? 28 metres or something? We'll go 30 metres in round figures. 30 metres high. And notice what else? The breadth was 6 cubits. It's another 9 feet. Another 3 metres. That's all gold. That's a big bit of gold, amen. That's a large lot of gold. So he sets up this image. Now, whenever you hear the music, everybody has to bow. That's the way it is. Well, that's what happened to start off with. But these three young men, they weren't too interested in bowing down. And they'd made some choices. You notice when we look at this, they'd made some previous choices about all this. Are they going to bow or not? That's the problem. Here's the test now. Here's the challenge. Here's the trial that they're facing. Are they going to bow? Now, we know previously, in verse 12, for example, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So they've decided we're going to live in obedience to God. God says you don't bow to idols, so we're not bowing. King, we've got a problem on our hands. There's three fellows there, and they will not bow. They won't bow. They won't serve your gods. They won't worship the golden image that you've set up. Oh. Now, as we read, Nebuchadnezzar was less than happy, verse 13. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, I mean, he is, we'd say, hopping mad. It's like, how dare these three young men not bow down? After all he's done to make this wonderful image. Notice there in verse 15, now if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I've made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar, okay. Okay, I'm giving you one more chance. One more chance. You bow, it'll be all good. You don't bow, you're going straight in that fiery furnace. And do you think God's going to be able to help you then? Challenge, isn't it? That's a trial, that's a test. What are we going to do? What did most people do? Well, except for three we read about, the rest had already bowed. So what did they bow for? I suggest the fiery furnace was one reason. But these three young men said, we're not going to bow. We are not going to bow. Easy enough to compromise and you know, we can just bow down and keep our fingers crossed. You know, God, sorry I'm bowing, but, you know, or whatever. Well, we go to verse 17. And the threat has been made. Shadrach, verse 16, they answered and said to the king, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're very careful in a sense. We're going to be just careful how we answer you. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. All right, our God is able to do that. We're okay with that. We are confident of God's ability to deliver us. He could deliver us. Is that how we are in tests and trials? No, God's on the throne. It's okay. He'll be able to get us out of it. You're going in the fiery furnace if you don't bow. We're happy that God's able to take care of it. All right. And he will deliver us out of thine hand. He's going to deliver us out of your hand, King. One way or the other, he's going to deliver us. We're confident in his ability, and we're confident also in his willingness. He will deliver us. We have a God who answers prayer. We're in a test and a trial. We are facing a bit of a challenge, King. There's no doubt about that. You've really put us on the spot, as it were. But we want to tell you something. Notice what it says, verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image, which is our set up. He said, whatever happens, God's on the throne. Amen. When we're in tests and trials, God is still on the throne. We've seen some of the reasons why he allows tests and trials. And so for these young men, they've got a decision to make. But notice what they say here. First of all, they have a conviction about it, don't they? I think one of the problems we face in Christianity today, a lot of people don't have convictions. You know, they have preferences. Well, I know I probably shouldn't do that, but... You don't want to be too legalistic. You ever heard that? I've heard that a few times. Well, you're just legalists. What are you talking about? If you have convictions about something that's biblical, guaranteed, it won't be long before someone will point the finger at you and say, you're just a legalist. So why is that? That's what the Bible says. Yeah, see, you always say that's what the Bible says. Gets me going. Well, that's what the Bible says. Don't bow to idols. That's simple enough. And it's not just a, well, whatever. You know, I've gotten a few arguments, for example, about women pastors and preachers. People get a bit cranky about it. So what do you think about it? It's wrong. What? How can you say that? Simple. How can the pastor be the husband of one wife if it's a lady? Very difficult. Except in today's world where we don't know which lady's the husband, which one's the wife. Outside that, the Bible's very clear about that. You say you're dogmatic about it. Absolutely. So you won't move on it. No. These men, we're not moving. The Bible says don't bow down to idols and we're not going to do it. Now God is able to deliver us and he will deliver us from you, King Nebuchadnezzar. He will. But whether it's in or out of the furnace, it doesn't really matter. We are not bowing. Amen? That's called a conviction, isn't it? That's not a preference. Well, we'd prefer not to, but because of the situation which facing us, it would be, look, and the devil, look, think about this. Think about this. All you have to do is bow. Just bow. And then you'll live to fight another day. You'll still be able to talk to the people out there. Why would they listen to you, you big compromiser? Why would you? They say, yeah, yeah. And you say you're a Christian and you bow down. You want me to listen to you? Come on. No, no, no. You say, but having convictions is not that popular. It is not in this world today. We live on what's called a sea of relativity. If it works, it's okay. If it makes you happy, that's all good. No, no, that's not how the Bible deals with things. There's a commandment that says, don't bow to idols. These men had a conviction about that. They were living by principle, not by preference, not by feelings. And I want to encourage us tonight to think about that in your own life. Do you have some convictions? Do you have some principles that you're not going to move on? Whatever. But what about if other Christians do it? Who cares? There's a whole lot of other Jewish people there in the land. They obviously all bowed. You see, they weren't going the way of the crowd. And that's not a good way to go, generally speaking, that I can see. Yeah, but they all do it. It doesn't matter. What does the Bible say? The Bible says don't bow, but you'll go in the furnace. That's correct. So be it. That's what has to happen. I like what Baltimore said. He said this. This was living by principle. They knew nothing of bending. They stood immovably fast when all of Babylon bowed down. They preferred to have all of Babylon rise up against them than to have God against them. Amen. They looked on the command and for the rest were blind to the future. They defied the torturing pain of the fire as well as all of Babylon. They would rather die a thousand deaths than for a moment become unfaithful to the God of their fathers. Their faith was of the purest gold, purer than the gold of Nebuchadnezzar's image. They said, we're not moving. We are not bowing. Well, we know what happened, don't we? They trusted in God's sovereignty in all this. They said, well, the Lord will deliver us out of thine hand, but if not, be it known unto thee, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, we didn't read the rest there. You can read that for yourself, but we know the story. That really got Nebuchadnezzar mad. I mean, if he was mad before, now he's really mad. He calls out his soldiers. He said, heat that furnace up 7 times hotter. If they're not going to bow, I'm going to show them. I'll show them who's in charge here. And so they heat it up 7 times hotter. They get the 3 young men and they throw them in the furnace. And in the process, the men who threw them in were killed because the heat was so intense. I mean, this is a serious furnace. He says, oh, well, see you young fellas, we'll see you in heaven. No, that's not quite what happened. Not quite what happened, is it? And we know what happened. The king's looking in there and said, how many did we throw in that furnace? They said, three, king. He said, how come? Notice what it says, verse 25. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So it's a pretty serious test or trial, that's right. But God was with them. And they're walking around in the furnace. I mean, just imagine. They're walking in the furnace with the Lord. Imagine. You think about the king. He's absolutely so, so mad. And then one, two, three. How many did we throw in? One, two, three, four. The fourth looks like the Son of God. Oh my. Oh my. See some of the blessings. They had the Lord's presence with them. He's still with them. The Lord's still with you in tests and trials. We may not be able to see him walking alongside us like that, but he never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always with us. We notice something else in all this. See, God had a plan and purpose, many things about it. But verse 29, therefore, King Nebuchadnezzar says, I make a decree that every people, nation and language who speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Guess who got the glory? God. But they had to go through the furnace. That's right. But in going through the furnace, God got the glory. Amen. That's what's going to happen. If we'll go through these tests and trials, trusting God, knowing he's in control, God will get the glory. People go, how did you ever get through that? How did that happen? God's grace. God's grace. That's all it is. Just the grace of God. Notice also verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Not only that, they got a promotion. I love it. Our Lord turns this whole thing around, turns it all around. Instead of going in the furnace and dying, they're now out of the furnace and they've been given a promotion. And God gets the glory, amen. It's wonderful when you think about it. Oh my. Tests and trials. Tests and trials. Here's some principles. Have a look at Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. I get excited about singing, but I get excited about the Word of God too. Amen. Oh my. Notice in Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, he knows all things. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. Notice what it says, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. God says, I'm on the throne, and I will accomplish my will. Amen. Thank God there is a God who says, I will accomplish what I purpose to accomplish. Amen. Amen. When I'm working in your life, I will accomplish what I've set out to accomplish. I will accomplish that. God is sovereign. Notice that also in Isaiah 55. And here's one of the reasons why we struggle a bit sometimes in tests and trials. And we start asking why this and why that. Notice verse 8 in Isaiah 55. And God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I wonder if you could have gone back to Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Now listen, you're going to be in trouble here soon, because when the king finds out, look out. I wonder whether they thought, well, Isaiah has told us God's thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. We're just going to stand for what's right. We'll let God take care of it, amen. His ways are not our ways. Fancy having to go through the furnace. Yeah, that's right. We know other situations where God allowed people to go in a furnace and they were burned. See, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not ours. We know from Romans 8:28, he works all things together for our good. That's a principle, isn't it? Clear in the Word of God. Some other things that we can learn. You know, when we go through tests or trials, we learn to better know our God. We learn more about him and our relationship with him. We learn to trust him a little more. We learn to realise that God is on the throne. He can take care of us. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us. You know, why do we have tests and trials? Sometimes God does a bit of pruning. In John chapter 15, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. And God's not doing this to destroy us or cause us pain for the sake of it. He's working it out for good so that we can bear more fruit. Amen? Yeah, but I'm going through this test and trial. Bless God. Thank him for it. We all do. We all do. We better know God. We better know ourselves as well. We find out that I'm just not quite as good as I thought I was. I find out that I've realised now I really can't do anything without God's help. That's a bit of a hard one, isn't it? Yeah, but I can do this and do that. God says, no, without me you can do nothing. And I learn that when I get into the furnace. How are we going to get out of this? Whoops. Who's that? Oh, Lord, it's nice to see you here. Can we ask you a couple of questions while we're here? A bit of fellowship in the fire. Amen. Oh, my. We learn some things about ourselves. You know something else? We're better able to help others. Imagine, they could go to other people who'd bow down and encourage them, listen, don't bow down. I know you have, but don't do it again. Why not? Because God will take care of you. How do you know? We're the guys who went through the furnace, remember? We know about that. We understand what you're going through. We can give you some encouragement here. And that's one reason why Paul said to the Corinthians, you know, we comfort others with the comfort where we've also been comforted. I've been there, done that. You ever run over anybody? Yeah, done that. Ever had this happen? Yeah, done that. Ever had that happen? Yeah, done that. All right. You done everything? No, not everything. Nobody does everything. But we're in a better position to help others because we've tasted of the grace and goodness of God. And we say, listen, brother, listen, sister, I want to encourage you. I know it's a deep trial you're going through. I know you're struggling. I understand that. I don't comprehend it all. I'm not you. But I have been in some of those situations. I've been there when people have said some things that weren't real good. I've learned that, you know, you just cast those cares on the Lord. He'll take care of it. So there's many things that we can learn in all these tests and trials. But one of the things, or two of the things, and I'll just close with that. Number one, don't forget to give thanks. Giving thanks always for all things. In everything, give thanks. And number two also, don't forget to ask the Lord for wisdom. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberty to all men and upright, and it shall be given him. Lord, I'm in this test and trial. I've got to stand before Nebuchadnezzar, and he said he's going to throw me in the furnace. Please give me wisdom. Yep, you've got it. But if we take a stand, we'll probably go in. But then God could deliver us out of that. Lord, we just leave it in your hands. Whether you deliver us from going through the furnace or whether you deliver us before we get into the furnace. You see, sometimes God just does a little test there to get our attention. We don't have to go right through all sorts of heartache. Other times we go through a test and trial. You think of Brother Surrett, my soul. Oh my. But what a good spirit that comes through his letters. I mean, humanly speaking, he should be gone. And he may be shortly. But he may not be too. But in all that, if I understand his letters right and the way it's coming across, he's just trusting the Lord. He's letting the Lord take care of it. Imagine his wife and family. They're going to go. You think he's going through a test and trial? Imagine his wife. Imagine his children having to watch her and helpless to do anything. And then looking to the medical people, they got no idea. Well, they got a few, but imagine. But I get the idea he's still praising the Lord. He still understands the Lord's with him. Amen? So may the Lord help us as we reflect upon these things. Tests and trials, they're common. They're common to all men. But there's some principles there, and I trust tonight we may be able to take one or more of those home and think about them and say, thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. I'm learning some things. And may God be glorified at the end of all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.